Hey, welcome to a new episode of Skin in the Game. This is your host, John Simperman, with my co-host,
Tim O'Shea. John, good to see you and good to see everybody out there.
It's great to be back in studio. It's great. You know, we've had a couple remote broadcasts.
Yeah, but it's not the same through Zoom. We love our guests through Zoom and we appreciate all of you coming in, but John, I like being across this table from you.
It's great.
This is a beautiful studio.
It's a beautiful studio. Hey, we have a great guest joining us for an interview today on Skin in the Game. Jan Liebchen, who is the head of brand marketing for M&T Bank. And for any of our listeners who are not familiar with M&T Bank, major, major retail bank with branches that stretch from New England, Western New York, Washington, Baltimore.
Yeah, New York City.
New York City, who have also, you know, in many ways, and we're going to talk to Jan about this, really helped build their brand, especially the brand awareness in some new markets, all around sports and sponsorship. So it's a topic that we really haven't yet brought up here on Skin in the Game, but it'll be nice to get a corporate perspective on the power of sports.
One thing that we've long hoped to do, and I think we've been doing a good job of this with Skin in the Game, is take listeners and viewers inside the sports industry, off, you know, off the field, in the front office, and beyond, from, you know, a lot of different angles. And you built your career in sports marketing, and we've talked about it quite a bit from the team level and from the team perspective. But when you are a brand that, you know, can choose to sponsor a theater, a sports team, buy newspaper ads, do whatever it is you think you need to do to connect with your audience, there's a whole process, right, that you go through to think about.
Right.
And, you know, if you're going to invest in a sports team, what sport do you pick? What teams do you pick? What do you do with them? And how, you know, what's the ROI? What's your return on investment? How do you measure success? So today's going to be a little bit of a seminar in that.
Yeah, and I also want to talk to Jan, too, about what they're doing on the philanthropic side, you know, because while sports is emotional and you can make very strong emotional connections to target audiences, you know, so are not-for-profits. And really interesting to kind of dive into not only the sports sponsorship investments, but also what they're doing with 501c3s and other, you know, philanthropic causes.
Yeah, it's a great conversation. Before we do, though, I've always wanted to look at you, John, and say, Bad Bunny. What does Bad Bunny mean to you, John?
Well, I do know of Bad Bunny, and I do know that...
This is quite the segue. I just tossed him.
I do know that Bad Bunny has been selected to perform at the Super Bowl. Let's just say a lot of news, buzz, unfortunately, a little controversy around that selection. But yeah, interested. You're probably a bigger Bad Bunny fan than I am. So what's your take?
Do you think I am?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think it's great. Here's the thing with NFL halftime shows, and I'm going to do the journalist thing and turn this around to into a question for you momentarily. But it strikes me that for a while, the NFL was trying to play it safe with the halftime shows. And safe doesn't mean bringing in performers who were
like U2, Rolling Stones,
yeah,
Who.
Great, like right. Iconic performers, but ones who are not necessarily going to break news while they're up there on stage. Right. They're going to simply entertain you. Last year's halftime show with Kendrick Lamar was the exact opposite of that, whether the NFL intended it or not. But he got up there and he, you know, his song Not Like Us, and he called out Drake, which is what that whole song's about. That's a story for another.
Right.
People get it or not get it, and if you don't, you can look it up. But long story short, Kendrick Lamar got up there. He performed that song. People weren't sure if he was going to do it, but he did it. He called out Drake, his nemesis, and I put that in quotes. And man, were people talking for a long time about that. You know, there's stories about like what Snoop Dogg did and what he wore and, you know, dances he chose to do from years before that. The NFL does not seem to mind making news with the halftime show.
No, they
So what do you think of that? That's my question.
Well, no. And, you know, here's the thing. They already have the football fans watching the Super Bowl. So the halftime show is really about how can you attract new eyeballs, new audiences to tune into the game. And NFLs are great marketers, and they know that. You know, so they did engage, I believe it was 5 years ago, Roc Nation books the show. So that's Jay-Z's company. So yeah, they're going to be a little bit edgy. you know, I don't want to say controversial, but a little bit more edgy, a little more contemporary. You know, my whole take is, though, I just wish, Tim, and I guess it's, I'm wishing, as a lot of our listeners are wishing, every decision didn't turn into a political decision.
And that, which is hard nowadays. I mean, I agree with you, and I wish it didn't. But, I mean, when you asked me, what do you think of Bad Bunny? And I said, I think it's great. Someone out there didn't like
and
that.
Guess
I said
what?
That, right? You know, and that's fine. I'm okay
with
that.
And if you don't want to watch Bad Bunny, I'm sure there'll be alternative programming
out there. They're very much, you know, I mean, they're 100%
go get a beer, go get a bite to eat, you know, take a walk. But, you know, you got to look at the big picture, and they're trying to bring as many eyeballs to the game as possible. And you can't just preach to the choir. So, you know, if that's the goal, I think they hit the nail on the head with
Bad
Bunny.
Yeah, which is fine. And you know, and the one thing, John, sports might be the only thing, or at least one of the only things left that really does bring people together,
from
regardless of your political beliefs
and from whatever your culture. Absolutely
right. Now, people could push back on that and point out kneeling, you know, a handful of years back, kneeling during the anthem, or words on the field during an NFL game, or, you know, and I could go on and on, but players put on a helmet. I'm not saying that sports are devoid of politics. They're absolutely not, or devoid of controversy. They're completely not, and never have been. But no matter what's up in your head, and no matter what you believe in your head or in your heart, if you're watching that Super Bowl, it's entertaining. It's a spectacle. You can turn off the halftime show if you want. But it's a great athletic
contest.
You
can watch the Puppy Bowl if you really want
to. You could. That's the one thing that's not controversial at all. Thank you. We should wrap this piece of our discussion on the Puppy Bowl. Everybody watch the Puppy Bowl.
That's right.
You'll be good.
That's right.
You're being marketed to, but that's okay.
Yeah. And yeah, just real quick on the NFL, because you hit the nail on the head. The ratings are up 8% year to year, averaging just over 18 million viewers a game. A big part of that is, I think, fantasy football, which is bringing a lot more people are more engaged watching random teams than ever before. So the NFL.
What about betting? Sports betting driving that up?
I think sports betting, absolutely. And fantasy, which in some cases is a derivative of sports betting, that's all a big part of it. Bottom line is, you know, the viewership and the interest in NFL broadcasts continue to grow, with or without Bad Bunny.
And it'll be with this year.
It will be.
Hey, his Saturday Night Live episode was right on.
We'll have to look that one up. Go check it out.
We
want to welcome in our guest, Jan Liebchen from M&T Bank, is going to be joining us here on Skin in the Game, talking about the importance of sports sponsorships and how that plays a role in the marketing and the branding of M&T Bank. So stay tuned for that.
Hey, football fans, check out the USA Wheelchair Football League Tournament, presented by Buffalo Toronto Public Media. Cheer on our very own Buffalo Bills as they face off with the Patriots, the Cowboys, the Raiders, and the Browns.
It's picked off!
Head to the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel to stream it now.
Hey, welcome back to Skin in the Game, and excited to welcome our guest, Jan Liebchen, head of brand marketing for M&T Bank. Jan, thanks for joining us.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
I've been watching the work of M&T Bank, both here in Western New York, as well as actually throughout New England. So really excited to bring you on the program. And we really haven't yet talked to someone from the brand side. We've addressed property side. We've addressed agents. We've addressed a lot, but never really from a corporate side.
John and Jan, we're 50-some episodes in, so thanks for taking us into some new ground. And for our audience who is in the sports marketing business or in the sports business, they'll have a sense on the brand side, and even to narrow this down, how banks interact with sports. For those of us who are sports fans, we see ads from brands, including banks, all the time, and may not think about, you know, what's the strategy? What are they getting out of it? And so, Jan, we're happy to dig into this with you. Thank you for joining us.
And it's an exciting topic. Yeah, it's definitely very, very interesting.
It is.
And it's evolving so much. So I'm glad you guys are discussing it.
Great. Well, if you could, just for our listeners, just give a little background on your role with M&T Bank.
Sure. Yeah, so I help manage the bank's brand strategy, that takes shape in how we show up in our markets, leveraging advertising, sponsorships, how our brand shows up in physical spaces, so our branches, our corporate spaces, and how we do that to tell a cohesive story across the M&T brands, which is M&T Bank and Wilmington Trust.
Give us a little bit of your path to M&T Bank.
Yeah. My path is through the hospitality world. So I studied hospitality, which generated a deep understanding and a proximity to the customer, which is really, really critical when you think about audiences within the marketing space. Before M&T, I worked at UBS, the global wealth management firm. Prior to that, at HSBC, so both in the financial services space. Before HSBC, I was with Hyatt Hotels and Disney and other places. So that's the journey I've taken. It's always been in some experiential marketing brand sponsorship space, always looking to speak to our customers in a way that makes sense from a brand perspective and to get them to feel, think, and do certain activities. And sponsorships are just really, really powerful in doing that.
All right. So Jan, do you mind if I jump to the toughest question right now?
Let's go.
All right. Let's do it. And then we'll back up and I'll back off a little from there. All right. M&T Bank has two NFL teams, the Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills. So how do you do that? And who do you cheer for?
Wait, we do? All right. So
maybe I got my facts wrong.
No, they do.
I know they do.
So first of all, yes, we do have that. You know, we love both of our children equally. We support them in similar ways. The underlying activity that allows us to join the conversation that these teams have with their naturally attracted audience is very, very similar. Of course, there are rituals in that engagement that are different and that we have to adhere to. We rarely, from a marketing standpoint, make a point that we are the sponsor of both, particularly when they play each other. We hope for the best team to win. And we support it from a storytelling standpoint, regionally and locally, to each of those teams. We don't leverage the fact that both are supported by M&T in marketing campaigns.
I put you on the spot in good humor with a question on who do you cheer for. But in reality, too, I mean, you can be both things to both teams, right? Without any conflict, I'm guessing.
I would also add to, you know, the fan base as being an audience to also the community as an audience, those folks that just generally love sports or football. Yes, the affinity and therefore the activity and engagement may be slightly lower. The audience is larger than just the deep-rooted fans. And so it does make sense. We also like to cross-pollinate our assets as much as it makes sense to tell stories that are relevant. So we have not yet, knock on wood, had large challenges, but we also don't emphasize the fact that we are playing an M&T bowl when those two teams play each other.
I think this is interesting, and I believe that some of the strategy in both those partnerships, at least the origins of the strategy, may have been a little different because M&T Bank, very well established in Western New York and among Bills fans, is more of a kind of a cornerstone founding partner. And by the way, great activation, which we'll get into it. But the origins of the Baltimore partnership was, and Jan, you would know better than I, but this was a new bank brand in a relatively new market for M&T. So brand awareness was the key objective there.
You're right. In that nuanced part of it, I would say if you look at the underlying tactics of how a sponsorship works, they are identical, the two. They're just at different stages of maturity in terms of our desires and what we are looking to achieve. I would argue that now they're probably quite similar and negligible, the differences. But at the onset of that relationship, you're right, we were looking to establish ourselves in the Baltimore market. And what better way than to attach yourself to the favorite hometown team? And that's really worked well for us. The Ravens are fantastic partners. It's part of how we evaluate sponsorships anyway, in that we try to understand the strategy of the property rights holder in terms of how they show up in the community, how they think about other partnerships, and how they support the partnership that we have with them.
Let's pull back even a little bit more here, Jan. And John, you've got a lot of that. You've got a great deal of expertise running marketing for four major league sports teams. So from both your perspectives, what makes a good brand, or in this case, bank and team sponsorship? And Jan, for you, what does that look like with the Bills and with the Ravens? Like, what are some examples of, you know, things you've been doing that have been working?
So for us, it's like in these four buckets. You can underestimate the first bucket, which is the target audience and values. So if you take a step back, what is sponsorships? Sponsorships is essentially a brand or an entity that wants to join a conversation. And I mean this interpreted as broadly as possible, between a property rights holder and their naturally attracted audience. And the way you do that in a way that you know, generates positive return to you is you do it in a way that's authentic to who you are. So you can't pretend to be something else. So we don't, for example, in our activations, and you'll see that when we talk about it, we don't pretend to be ESPN. Therefore, we don't discuss the validity of play choices or draft picks, right? So we understand who we are. We're a bank. Number two, you have to lean in a way that adds value to that conversation, right? So the journey, the customer journey, the fan journey in the relationship that a Bills or Ravens fan has with the Bills or Ravens is something that we really deeply try to understand so that we can add value. So whether that's adding better, more access for content in some way so that you have a richer experience, making the journey from your home to the stadium easier by providing quicker, cheaper, easier access for parking or some other pain point that may exist in that journey, or adding other ways that you can participate in this by using your debit card and generating a discount from the store, et cetera. So we look very closely at what are the ways that you naturally attract your audience. Then how large is your audience? How engaged is your audience? So if you, the Ravens or Bills, post something, how much engagement is that? We all know that viewing and impressions in this new chapter of social media mean less than engagement. And both of those teams have really engaged partnerships. We also try to understand, you know, what's our shared voice? How many other voices are attached to the Bills and are rightfully telling their story to the fan base? And how much louder do we have to shout in order for our message to come through? The other thing that we then look at is, what's the nature of the assets that we get? Are there digital assets that we get? Are there physical assets? Are they thoughtful in how they're delivered to us? Are they additive to that philosophy of making that fan journey more interesting? We then think about, you know, exclusivity. And the reason exclusivity is so relevant is because we are conveying that we are this special friend. And if there's multiple others that have the same category, we know from research that it confuses the consumer. And then you don't get the right, as much as we currently have, to join that conversation. We then look at, what are our hospitality options? What kind of access does this allow us? And that's beyond game day as well, right? So 365 days a year, you're a Bills or Ravens fan. And there are multiple ways that we can then think about, how do we allow our customers, our employees, our community to engage with this asset in a way that allows for solutions for the clients and more opportunities for us from a conversion standpoint. And then finally, are there direct business opportunities? Can we provide financial services to the teams in a way that allows them to solve problems that they would naturally have, but also allows us to generate some impact? Those are kind of the four major thought processes that we have when we think about, you know, what makes a good partnership. And I can talk about some details or examples if that's of interest.
Now, I'm going to defer to the expert next to me lead us.
First of all, Jan nailed it on all those different assets. And Jan, you mentioned it is adding value to that fan experience. Don't be an interruption, right? Whether it's a Jumbotron promotion or whether it's some direct correspondence, but add value to their experience. And those are the partnerships that fans remember, and those are the partnerships that fans appreciate. Kudos to how you're leveraging those strategies. And I'll just look here, like in Western New York, the stuff that you've done with the lawn signs and things like that. And I know you're probably doing those in Boulder as well. But again, that's adding value to that fandom. So right on with
it. I mean, I actually really like the fact that you brought up the lawn signs because it allows me to tell the story of understanding the rituals.
Right.
And so did we contemplate putting lawn signs in Baltimore? Yes. There are fewer lawns to have, right? So just understanding some truths and realities of the audience that you're talking to really is relevant. It allows you to speak in a way that resonates. It allows you to act in a way that makes you feel like you understand the conversation, that you're trying to add value to it. If we were to show up with an activity that doesn't resonate, it would just reveal that we are actually not understanding of who they are or who the team is. So right. It's really important for us to leverage insights and data, to leverage our employees that are in those locations to really understand what this engagement is about. And that's true across our entire portfolio of assets.
Let me ask you, Jan, about the power of sports, and particularly the power of the NFL to help M&T connect with audiences. Clearly, you've prioritized sports and in particular, you know, these two NFL teams. So talk about why.
We live in a time when you have access, you, the consumer of media, have access to mountains of choices. We're in an age of fragmentation. And so passion and your internal driver for you to consume maybe a larger slice of this particular part of the media landscape is a key driver for it. Yes, can you achieve an audience through YouTube or the local TV station? Sure. But really, in terms of engagement and connection, sports and cultural sponsorships and sponsorships in general are really powerful. If you look at how advertising has kind of evolved, we're getting into a place more and more, and social media has added to that. And I'm not sharing anything that is revolutionary. There is more of an expectation of a discussion. So if you looked at the old advertisement and that it was talking at you, the expectation is that I want to understand who you are and I want to have a conversation with you. And sponsorships just lends itself really well to do that. And sports sponsorship in particular allows to celebrate the coming together. The ritual of coming to a sporting outfit is just really, really powerful and aligns beautifully with our brand ethos. We found lots and lots of measurable success in doing that. That doesn't mean that there isn't an audience out there that engages with different passion points. So that's why our portfolio also has cultural institutions in it, et cetera.
I'm thinking back to, well, John, multiple conversations we've had here on Skin in the Game with people who have, you know, I'm thinking S.L. Price, the longtime, Jan, this is a longtime Sports Illustrated writer, who's told us how, you know, from his perspective as a journalist, sports is a storytelling tool that can take you to almost any audience in any sector, right? And I've got to think from a brand perspective, Jan, that probably plays true as well. Like you're hitting a broad, not everybody, as you point out, but you're really hitting a broad cross-section of fans, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what resonates when you talk to me about Sports Illustrated is that, you know, they're storytellers. And that's where showing up authentically can be challenging as a financial services firm, right? There's only so much authentic M&T bank content that I could share, right? There's financial literacy, and I can talk about those capabilities. But really, the meat of it is, how do communities come together and celebrate that? And we can talk a lot about that, tell a lot of stories. So for example, the Ravens, we've created a series that tells the stories at the bank. The bank is how the team refers to the stadium. And so we wanted to tell the story of the firemen and the marching band members and the longtime fans that have been a season ticket holder since day one. And those types of stories really allow us to celebrate what it means to be a fan and what it means to come together And that's really how we position ourselves. Like, football brings us together, and it really does resonate. We see it in our engagement. It's definitely gold when it comes to storytelling.
Yeah, and he was pretty much saying sports are an incredible window into the human experience, broadly defined. And as a storyteller, as a writer, being a sports writer has been such a great career because it's also turned him into a business writer. It's turned him into a cultural writer, a historian. Yes, thank you. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Jan, I love what you were talking about with this platform about telling stories with the firemen, the fan, the bands, because those are evergreen, right? And I know in some of your campaigns in the past, you may have focused on a player, but if that player has a bad game or that player gets traded, that could influence the perception of that campaign. But in these cases, these stories are woven into the fabric of those communities. You don't have to worry about a bad game from the band, right? So,
yeah. So if you think about our entire brand ethos, we let our customers tell our story in our brand ads. We also think that we have to go beyond the impression. We have to welcome the discussion, welcome the conversation. Don't get me wrong, popular player is a significant benefit to generating attention, but I do appreciate the risk you're referring to, which right. is why doing your due diligence is really, really critical.
Right. So talk to us about whether it's a cultural partnership, whether it's a sports sponsorship, you know, what are those key performance indexes? What are those goals that you're judging these opportunities on?
Yes, I mean, it's relatively broad, I would say, right? So it depends on the maturity of the asset. Brand awareness, brand perception, brand engagement is really important. But also a little bit more mid-funnel, you know, how does that contribute to the familiarity and consideration of the brand? We also look at conversion numbers, candidly.
Sure.
How many direct accounts is it generated? What type of contribution do any of these activities generate for us? We try and chop them up in a way that we can then set achievable benchmarks and measure them through research, through direct engagement tracking, and then through direct sales.
How much, when you're looking at sports teams, does the actual success of the team play into your thinking or the projection of, you know, where that team's going to go, what their trajectory is? How much do you consider that when considering how deeply to engage with them on a sponsorship level?
So this may come as a surprise. It doesn't at all. Even though there's an obvious correlation between success and attention. The reason it doesn't is you cannot manage for it. What we are interested in is what's the engagement despite success. So if you're going to have a really engaged, and the Bills are a fantastic example of that, irrespective of the success on the field, then when there is success on the field, it's only going to be better. So we really don't look at it, even though there's some obvious ways it does. So if you make it to the playoffs, you get more impressions, particularly if you have home field advantage. And we have that naming rights partnership with the Ravens. Of course, we want the Ravens to make it to the playoff, A, because we like them as a team, but B, because it then helps us generate more brand impressions through broadcasting and those types of things. But it is not a metric at the beginning of a discussion because it's next to impossible to manage towards.
And that's exactly right. You take a look at the fandom of the Bills, and you know there was a playoff drought, but there was still a ton of loyalty and passion, and you know, it sounds like it's worked out great for both
sure
sides.
Has. Yeah. I mean, well, Bills fans, you know, who used to be called the 12th man, now Bills Mafia, have been dedicated for decades and decades and decades. But the term Bills Mafia was coined and popularized right in the middle of that 17-year playoff drought, right? In fact, I would say, you know, theoretically, the Bills fans were more entertaining than the Buffalo Bills as a team for some of that time. And they were certainly more engaged. I want to ask you about the naming rights. Obviously, as you said, you've got those in Baltimore with the Ravens. How big a deal is it to have the naming rights on a stadium, and how do you quantify the value of that?
So first of all, it's a massive deal. There are only a limited amount of NFL teams, one of which has our name on their stadium. That's a starting point. Then Baltimore is a super important market to us. Having our name on this iconic stadium for Baltimore, really critical. Being able to participate in large rituals throughout the NFL season as prominently as we can be through the naming rights partnership generates lots and lots of value. So how do we evaluate it? There are obviously media-generated impressions that generate value for us that we track very, very closely. But there are also lots and lots and lots of assets throughout the entire calendar year, from client events, community events, activations at various other points throughout the year and during game day, that closely generate lots of positive impact for us, from direct conversion to impressions, brand lift, and all of that we look at precisely, and we have a very clear understanding of what it generates. And our baseline assumption is a regular season only, so that we don't rely on postseason to generate the value to justify the expense. So if they make it on a long run, which we hope, we're only going into gravy territory.
Yeah, like even better.
Right. Wanted to take a little bit of a step back, and Jan, you are referring to both cultural and sports, and you guys have a very strong portfolio. Do you look at cultural investments, i.e. the arts, theater, different than sports? And what I'm kind of alluding to, in markets like Buffalo, Baltimore, Cleveland, you know, even in a lot of these mid-sized markets, there's only so much money to go around. And are we cognizant also that cultural investments are out there? Just how do you look at those, and how do you judge those?
And the underlying thinking is the same, right? So there's the property rights holder and they attract an audience. I think the major difference that exists there, which is harder for a cultural venue, for example, to do, is that there are IP issues, right? So you're sometimes hosting a third-party play or a third-party concert, which we then don't have the proximity of allowing to join that specific conversation, if that makes sense. But I would say the fundamental understanding of being authentic to who you are and joining a conversation in a way that adds value holds true there. So for example, we are the founding bank of a cultural institution in New York City called The Shed. They have a large roster of different types of cultural expressions that they present every year. And so, for example, in October, Tom Hanks is opening a play that he and James Glossman wrote. It's directed by Tony Award winner Kenny Leon. It's called This World of Tomorrow. We are the presenting sponsor of that play. It affords us lots and lots of impressions that we generate because of the attention that it generates. But it also affords us the ability to generate hospitality. It allows us to tell the story, the support of the arts, and how that's a relevant and important, impactful activation for us. I'll give you an example that's in an entirely different space. There's an organization called Pan Mass Challenge, which is a bike-a-thon, essentially. They ride 2 days in the summer of over 200 miles across Massachusetts, hence the name, to fundraise for cancer research. Their primary donorship is the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. We are the naming rights partner together with the Red Sox Foundation, and that is a powerful sponsorship for us. It's a challenging one because it's spread out. So the rituals happen across such a large geographic area. There isn't a stadium, if that makes sense.
Sure.
But I can tell you, in terms of engaged audience, it is the only sponsorship that I've ever attended over my career where participants, volunteers, employees come and thank us for sponsoring them. They're so engaged. A, it's a fantastic cause. We've all been impacted. Most of us have been impacted some way with our friends and family with cancer, but B, it just generates lots and lots of brand health for us that we activate in a way that makes sense for that ritual, that adds value to that ritual. We participate in it because it's critical to that particular ritual. but the fundamentals of it are the same as the Bills.
When most of us think of sponsorships of the marketing, I think the most basic reference point, and those of us who haven't built a career in it have, is that, you know, the brand is trying to connect with an audience of consumers or potential consumers. There's a whole other group that you mentioned, which is employees of that company. You know, for your folks in the Baltimore, D.C. area, for your team members in Buffalo, for those in New York City, for, you know, MNC employees anywhere, how significant are some of these sponsorships for them? And how often do you think about that, too? Like, if we engage with this brand, you know, here's what it might do or offer for our employees.
Yeah, so this is obviously my opinion. I can't really talk for how important it is to them. I know it's really important to us. You know, we work very, very closely with a large chunk of those employees. We rely on them to perform this ritual with their naturally attracted audience. So really, they're a treasure of information and insights. But we also understand that they are potential clients in a variety of areas that the bank serves. And so we do think about how can we provide, you know, banking services to folks, right? So we sponsor a university in Connecticut, Quinnipiac University. And so we actively look, how can we provide banking services to the employees of Quinnipiac University? For example, it's one building block of many, but it's really an important one. And candidly, we couldn't do the things we're doing without the colleagues from those teams and partners. And so building a thoughtful and trusted relationship with them is critical to our success, because they are the experts on that relationship with their audience. And so we want to make sure that, you know, they are as invested in the success of the sponsorship as we are.
You know, what I've seen in the sponsorship world too, it's a source of pride for those employees, right? And, you know, all companies are battling for employees and employee retention, and it is more qualitative, but there is pride. I know a lot of the partners of a lot of these teams, because of that strong association. Yeah, and I wanted to just reinforce what you said about things like the Pan Mass Challenge, and you know, events like that don't happen without sponsorships. And I think that's a big part of those participants and those organizers thanking the sponsors. You know, you would argue that the NFL would survive or would find other partners, but some of those smaller events, some of those culture events, you know, you're looking at their P&Ls, and in many cases, sponsorship is going to be the biggest part of it, you know, to help them minimize their risk. So, you know, kudos to M&T Bank for highlighting some of those more not-for-profit or cultural investments.
I mean, it's a really great point you make. I would add, so for the Pan Mass Challenge, their strategy, started by their founder, Billy Starr, was that they wanted to make sure that those that fundraise, the people that ride their bike and fundraise, that every dollar that they fundraise can go directly to the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. So their entire strategy is that sponsors underwrite the folks that do the work.
Right.
And so our dollars are enabling a community activity or ritual that allows 100% of the dollars to flow right through to Dana-Farber. So that's really an exciting position to have and a powerful proposition.
Absolutely. And for someone who's participated, haven't done the 200 miles, but someone who's participated.
See, the beauty of that, you can look it up. There are, you know, shorter routes. There's also virtual riders, and there's other activities. Me, myself, too, I haven't done the 200 miles.
All right, maybe next
summer. Sounds like something you guys can train for together.
Yeah, maybe next summer, Jan. Maybe next summer.
Maybe.
But when I'm participating in those events, it's, you know, yeah, if I'm going to raise money, I want to know that I'm not paying administrative fees. I want to know that my money that I raise is directly going to that cause. Kudos to M&T Bank, because you've minimized those operational risks. So the foundation receives the money and not going to, quote unquote, overhead.
And like a personal source of pride, if I'm honest with you, which I didn't really realize in the moment, but I think is something that we've now also understand that we can do, is we can help those organizations understand how folks in our position make purchase decisions, what they look for, so we can help them strengthen their thinking and their strategy around sponsorships. And in the case of the Panmass Challenge, that was feedback that we received from them, that they had never worked with a partner as invested in the success of this, both from a funding and underwriting standpoint, but also from a, how do we approach this thing called sponsorships? How does it impact the participants in this amazing conversation the most? And what do folks that are in my seat think and do, which then hopefully generates better, more impactful outcomes for you as an organization beyond a check that we could write?
All right, Jan, we're almost at the end of our time here. I started, or at least near the top of the conversation, by asking you the tough question that puts you on the spot: who do you cheer for? So I'm gonna end by asking you a broader question here that I think might be a little bit easier. And here it is: we founded Skin in the Game on a belief that John came to me with, that, you know, hey, whether you are a sports fan or not, sports impacts everybody in a community, everybody in society. Sports is embedded and ingrained in the fabric of our lives. And it strikes me you're in a unique position to understand that and have a perspective on that. So I'm curious, and, you know, over the course of your career, MNC and before, what have you learned? What would have surprised you about what sports means to the communities that you serve?
I think, I'm not sure that the fact surprised me, but maybe the intensity of the feeling that folks have with a sport coming together, and how it's not only the team that generates that attention, but it's the fellow fan. And so smart teams really try to understand the fans and try to allow them to be part of those rituals as much as possible. Without fans and without this ritual that fans do on game day and during the week, I think there would be much less passion that's celebrated and much less excitement that's generated on game day. So I would say that's probably really surprising. I think the other thing that is maybe surprising over the years is that we've come a long way. I think maybe when I started my career, sponsorships were slapping your logo on the wall and then hoping for the best. And really understanding now that you have to actively participate in this conversation in a way that adds value was a big learning, and that way that the audience consumes what you deliver is changing rapidly. Is it possible in that the foreseeable future, the vast majority of folks will never go to a football game in person, but will sit on their couch with a fully immersive experience where their brain thinks they're actually in the stadium? Sure. What does that mean for me to join that conversation then? Is that an entirely different proposition? Sure. What role in the immediate future does second screen have? And how do I need to participate in that way in some sort? So it's just an ever-evolving, super interesting activity. And, you know, women's sports and their impact is really, really interesting. Rightly so, and it's an exciting opportunity for us all to navigate that and to provide value to that conversation in a way that brings that journey forward.
That's great. I've learned a lot.
Yeah, here, no, great conversation, Jan. I want to thank you for kind of flipping the camera and providing our listeners with kind of the partner, the sponsorship perspective on sports. And I want to congratulate you and your team, because I know there's a really strong team behind you that's really done a great job connecting to the fans really all across, you know, New England and beyond.
Yeah, Jan, thank you so much. We covered a lot of ground here, and I got to tell you, I this is like the college marketing class I wish I would have taken. And I've been hanging out with John this whole time here too.
Yes, you should. We should definitely add that to some college somewhere.
Yeah, hey, Jan, thanks for joining us here on Skin in the Game.
Thanks, John.
It was a pleasure, guys. Thanks so much.
Of course. All right, John, we've got a lot to unpack. The thoughts are going up here. We will be right back on Skin in the Game.
Corey here with the Compact Civics Expansion Pack.
America is such a big, wide, awesome place, and to be able to see things that are representative of so many different places can be so important when brought to your tiny town.
Everybody is so kind and loving. I'm here in Buffalo just because of State Buffalo.
From urban farms to rural fairs, we'll celebrate spaces that bring us together and create community.
Watch on the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel.
From your morning commute to quiet evenings at home, Buffalo Toronto Public Media is always there with trusted news, inspiring stories, and timeless music. It's your connection to a world of wonder. This is Public Media.
Hey, welcome back to Skin in the Game. And I wanted to again thank Jan Liebchen from M&T Bank for joining us. Great conversation, Tim.
I love that conversation, John. I've got to, and I'm wondering if people out there watching and listening feel this way too. I felt like I know a decent amount about marketing. And I think that's from hanging out with you. I probably start to think I know a little more than I do. This guy is the marketing expert. But hearing Jan go from talking about, you know, key performance indicators, for example, in some level of detail in the, you know, the four or so different buckets that they look at to evaluate the strength of a sponsorship, which he can do, you know, at a very high and obviously expert level, but then bring it right down to, hey, this is good for the fans and our employees thank us for this. And I know marketing is about connecting brands with human beings, but the way what Jan described it, really makes it tangible. You know, we say sports is something that affects all of us. Marketing is something that impacts our lives every day, all day. And this was a really good, I think, distillation of what that looks like.
Well, it's also part of the fact that we live in a very, very cluttered, noisy environment. Even if you look at TV rights for sports, the reason that year after year, the fees that the networks pay for sports is because it is a way that to kind of break through, right? And avoid the clutter or avoid the, you know, non-linear viewing, right? The binge viewing. So it's one of the few things sports is that, you know, you really need to experience live. And I think, as Jan mentioned, it's also communal, you know, whether it's a farmer, whether it's a banker, you know, whatever your, you know, your race, your religion, sports brings us together. It's that communal environment. For brands like M&T and others, if they can join that conversation and become part of that quote unquote family, that really adds kind of credibility and authenticity to that brand.
You know, and you brought up the yard signs. That, and I don't know, can you think of any off the top of your head? Not to put you on the spot.
Oh, as far as the M&T signs?
Yeah.
Oh, I know they had our quarterback and our former wide receiver for a couple of years.
Oh, that is true. Yeah.
But those have been swapped
out.
Alan Diggs. Those have been swapped out for other messaging.
But for people who aren't familiar, by the way, if you went anywhere in the Buffalo, New York area, you would see what looked to be a political campaign yard sign that said Alan Diggs. And it's just like, who am I voting for here? But really what it was a reference to the Buffalo Bills quarterback and at the time star wide receiver.
So it's almost as if every other house in Western New York had a billboard.
And nice, they do actual tactic. Billboards too, which are pretty, I don't know if snarky is the right word. Whoever writes them, I would say M&T and Delaware North is also very good at this. I know in the Buffalo area, and I'm sure in other areas they serve, where they'll, you know, they'll have these digital billboards or at least frequently change billboards, you know, in this case about the Bills' upcoming opponent.
Right.
They are, to say they're creative.
Right.
But again, we'll have to bring in some examples sometime.
It's part of being part of the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and Jan also addressed, and I've seen this in my career, how sponsorship was slapping a logo, right? We used to joke, you know, sponsorship was the back of a 10K t-shirt, right? Where there's 50 brand logos. I would say in the last 10 years, maybe 15, you've seen this really focus on activation. And, you know, we throw out the word activation on Skin in the Game a lot. What does that mean? Activation is driving consumer behavior. And that could be opening up a checking account. That could be watching or engaging in a video. That could be interacting with the brand pregame at an on-site experience. Driving consumer behavior. That's what activation is all about.
Well, I'll give an example, if you don't mind. I just wrote about one that and this was in the Buffalo News. It mentioned M&T, but it's actually Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield, the health insurer, that has the naming rights for the current and the future Buffalo Bills stadium. As this Buffalo Bills stadium is slated to close down after this year, Highmark has what is called a tailgate trailer, and it's T-A-L-E, like tail as in story, tailgate trailer, where fans can go in and record videos of their favorite stories from the stadium. Right around the corner from there outside the stadium, M&T has tents with an interactive booth. You know, in terms of making the game day experience better too, mm-hmm. There's a lot that a brand can do
right
to entertain fans, engage fans, when they would otherwise honestly just be, sitting and drinking beer or standing in line at a security, in a security queue.
Right. Well, I saw it really start, when I owned my marketing agency, we were very involved in NASCAR. And if you've ever been to a NASCAR event, it's all about that pregame experience and that activation. So you would have all these brands. It was really a pre-race carnival experience, which was almost as fun as watching the cars turn left.
I think even more fun for some of us.
Right. But that's where I really kind of caught on to activation, and we learned a lot through that NASCAR experience. And then now you've seen that evolve into the NFL, Major League Baseball, a lot of the more traditional sports. But I got to tell you, those NASCAR tracks, you show up 3.5 hours before a race, and it's a brand circus.
Yeah, you think of the NFL, and particularly certain cities where the tailgating experience is a big deal. Try NASCAR.
Exactly.
Way beyond even the NFL.
Have you ever been to Talladega?
No, everything, I will admit, you're catching me on it. Every single thing I'm saying here is from hearing it from others seeing it on TV. It's one of the few sports and certainly one of the few tracks that I have not been to.
Yeah, well, everything you would imagine that Talladega would be or could be is absolutely true.
Even beyond the movie?
So with that, we're going to wrap up this episode of Skin in the Game. Again, I want to thank Jan Liebchen from M&T Bank, and look forward to everybody tuning in to a next episode.
See you next time.
This is a production of Buffalo Toronto Public Media. Thanks for listening.